Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spontaneous Spirit Thoughts with Panda and Lion on the WithInsightsRadio.com network. The call-in number is 646-595-3440. The chat room will be open as well. Again, that call-in number is 646-595-3440. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Spontaneous Spirit Talk Radio. I am one of your hosts, Iggy Garcia, and I am accompanied by the one and only... That's your cue. Adriana.
Hi there. Hello. Welcome. Good to be here.
It's good to be here. Yeah. I'm all fired up today. So.
I can tell from your earlier texts and posts. Yes. I can tell. This is good.
Yeah, that's good. Iggy's happy today. Mm-hmm. It's been a good day. That's all.
Yeah.
So how you doing?
I'm doing a lot better now, so it's been kind of a trying couple of weeks and kind of long this week, but, I'm making it through, and there's a lot of other people going through a lot harder things than I am, and so I just kind of came, when I left work today, I just was like, well, thank you for another day, you know, giving me another day, and
awesome.
I'm just glad to be here. So,
well, we're glad you're here.
You know, we missed our show last week. We kind of took a break, and it was kind of strange. That was the first one for a while, so, you know, that we had not done, and it was just kind of strange. So I'm glad that we're back tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This week's been kind of a strange week. We lost a friend, Deb Tenenbaum. Longtime friend of mine, new friend of yours. She transitioned on Monday evening, and we held a vigil for her yesterday in honor of her memory at Shrum Mound, just to, you know, talk and just kind of recount about how we all, you know, perceived her, experienced her memory. So it was a beautiful thing, and I was really grateful for David to be able to do that for our friends who were grieving and sad about it. And so I prayers out to the family. They live in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Her funeral's tomorrow. So those of you who can make it, it's in Pittsburgh. But that's kind of why we held it, because a lot of people couldn't travel. So, Deb, we know you're up there, and we know you're playing your flute, and we love you and we miss you.
Yeah. It was beautiful yesterday. And, yes, you know, there was sadness and crying, but there was also laughter and happiness too. So it's nice to reflect upon that someone has made you feel that way, you know, in what time that they were in your life. That's definitely a beautiful thing. So I appreciate you guys putting that together. And that was kind of it was very shocking, you know, and sudden. But I was very grateful for the people that could come. And it was just a beautiful ceremony. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was tough. But, we move on. And then later this week, end of this week, we have people getting married. We're friends of ours getting married.
Right.
So it's kind of like the cycle of life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We go around the circle.
Yes, it is. Yeah, in the past couple of weeks, you know, we've seen births and deaths. Mm-hmm. And like you said, next is going to be a wedding, a union of two very beautiful souls that I know we both love, and I'm excited. It's going to be a really new experience for me. I have not participated in a ceremony like this ever, and I have not been in a wedding for years, so I'm looking forward to it. It's definitely going to be an experience, and be one for the books. We'll have a good time, and I think there's going to be a lot of love, and happiness.
Absolutely. I know the weather's been playing games with us today. I thought it was going to rain today, and it looked like it was going to rain, a storm, and then it goes away, and then now it's like as sunny as can be. It's beautiful out. The sunset is going to be really nice here in about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. So those of you who get to see it, take a picture for me. Since I'm in an undisclosed location, hiding in my basement.
Yeah, I won't be able to take a picture of the sunset either, since I am on my phone at the moment. But I did take one earlier. I had an errand to run after I came home and went out, and the sky was just amazing. And I've noticed quite a few people posting some pictures of today's sky from all over. There's some pretty amazing clouds up there, and you know, the beauty, that beauty's there every day, you know, and that's one thing I just always look forward to seeing is a beautiful sky. And even when it's raining, you know, stormy skies are beautiful to me.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I love storms. After a storm, it feels like everything has just been really washed clean. You know, Mother Earth gets bathed, and I think a lot of energies get washed during the storm. So I'm always grateful, you know, when we have those also, and that's just like life. You know, some days are sunny and things are going fine, and then other days you have storms, and it's just all in how you perceive that storm and how you weather it. So.
Right. And our good friend Maisie.
We've been doing good.
Our good friend Maisie lost her keys yesterday, and we were all hunting for them. And I go, you know, that's just the cutest thing. She's praying to her angels. She goes, look on my hood. And I said, it's on you somewhere. I know it's on you somewhere. And couldn't find her hood. And I told Mark, it's on her somewhere. I know. And then she looked around and she found it on her sleeve. I thought it was so cute. I was just thinking of Deb playing with her, you know, taking her keys and moving her around. That's the first thing that came to my mind, so it was kind of funny about that. Being a little trickster.
Maisie's adorable.
Yeah, she's a good friend of ours.
Yeah. Yeah, she commented on my share. I shared this, you know, I always share a link. And then she commented and asked if I was going to be on. I told her yes, and the last comment I put on there was, you should call in. So we should, you know, just have her call in and be on here and talk with us. She's just a beautiful soul. And I was thinking about her earlier today, actually, as I was driving on my way home. And I just thought, you know, every time I've seen her and been around her, and even in every picture that you see of her, she just has this big, bright, beautiful smile. And she always seems full of joy. You know, she always has a kind word and to say to someone. So we love you for that. I do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. And then one of our buddies today is his birthday, David Two Crows. So I want to give a shout out to David Two Crows. If you're out there and listening, we want to say happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, David Two Crows. David Two Crows, happy birthday to you. Flap those wings and fly, fly high. And never, never stop till you can. Okay, I'm done.
We love you, David. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I sang to him this morning, you know. We kind of have our... We have a group text thing going. And, I made a video as I was in work and... I sang the first, you know, happy birthday to you.
Oh,
He got a kick out of that.
That's
he said,
so
now
cute.
I know how JFK felt when Marilyn Monroe sang to him. I was like, not quite, but.
The sexy voice.
Well, at 7 a.m. it's not that sexy.
It's always sexy.
Yeah.
It's fun. I'm sure he appreciated it. I'm sure he appreciated it. I don't know how I missed that one in the text. We text so much.
It's on there.
Well, I'm sure it
is. Well, you were asleep, I'm sure.
Either I was sleeping or I was out and about. Let's see.
It was pretty early.
And
yeah, it's on there.
Happy birthday to you.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
I found it. That's funny.
Yeah, we love David.
Yeah,
he's definitely a joy in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got a whole bunch of friends, a cast of characters we are.
Mm-hmm.
Cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's on your mind tonight? So what do you want to share tonight with our listeners? What do you want to talk about? I know there's a lot happening this week. I know we have the retrograde and people transitioning and people being born and marriages.
Well, that's actually what's been on my mind tonight. All of the above.
All of the above. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just, like I said, I'm just, you know, I've had, we're all kind of, I think, having some struggles right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I, you know, had some conversations earlier this morning of, you know, some of our friends that are kind of struggling with some things also, and I just try to listen and offer to help in any way I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad, you know, just being able to say those words can make somebody's day a lot better. I know
mm-hmm.
it certainly helps me when, you know, I'm going through things and my friends, you know, always say, well, let me know if there's anything at all I can do, or they just send me a text or call and just to check on me when they can tell that my energy isn't, you know, upbeat as usual. And that just makes you feel really good knowing that genuine people are in our lives that care about us and that we can return that, you know, to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very grateful today that no matter what I've been going through in the past couple of weeks and what everyone is going through, I'm grateful that we're all together and that we all have our friendships and our bonds, because we are very close and we all genuinely care. And that's something that the world needs more of, is genuine, you know, people that genuinely care. I'm like you, I'm pretty disturbed about the oil spill out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing, you know, that it's just so heartbreaking and it's very sad. It's just very sad as far as how little value corporations have on lives of people in the earth and animals. And I just don't know how much longer, you know, that we can go on and with these things happening. It's just, it's not going to be, you know, a lot longer, and there's going to be a lot of repercussions. You know, they've already started, but there's going to be a lot more.
Yeah,
so
I
that's
agree.
Something that we'll constantly have to pray about, and
mm-hmm.
you know, hope that a solution is will come fairly fast, I think.
You know, it's I posted a lot of stuff about that today. I know that if we're resisting things that we don't want to happen, then we're attracting those things too. So that's the thing that we have to, as human beings, I don't think we quite grasp that concept, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's super important for us to, you know, think of things in a different light. That's why I say, oh, be positive. makes sense, but a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people have a hard time trying to be positive when things are in the shitter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, excuse my language, but it's hard, you know? It's hard for people to get themselves out and pull themselves into a better frame of mind. But it's a journey, so it's little by little. You have to do it, you know, step by step. You can't force things. I know as human beings, we try to make things happen quick or fast, and, you know, sometimes that just doesn't play out to our benefit. It's easy to complain and cause problems, and, you know, and find fault in things, fault in people, fault in things. You know, I was also thinking, you know, maybe these guys with these rigs, maybe they're doing their job to, you know, to their best of their ability, and, you know, it's man-made, so there's things are going to break. But there's really, what bothers me is that they don't have any contingency. It doesn't seem like they have a contingency plan if things leak. It's like they don't really have a backup system for if this was to happen. And that's what bothers me. Then it just all goes to pot real quick. You kill off half the wildlife through that area. No one can fish there. No one can boat there. And, you know, you just can't do anything. But yet these people, they go unpunished. They go without any type of recourse. You know, they get fined, you know, what, $100 million, and they made billions. So, I mean...
Right, that's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, for them, it's nothing, you know. So it's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's almost like they want to make these spills. You know, that's what I was thinking. And they want to make these spills so people don't come around and don't live there and don't bother them. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just really disturbed by it. You know, it affects everything. The ecosystem gets affected. Yeah. It affects everything. You know, you're talking about microscopic life that, you know, you're killing off, and then you're the next level up, the next level up. The food chain starts to be affected. And those are the things that bother me, because we know better. If we have free will and we have the intellect that was given to us by spirit, then, you know, we should actually be really ashamed of ourselves and be really upset with ourselves that we're not doing the things properly. You know, we can't blame the animals, we can't blame the birds, we can't blame anything else but ourselves for what we're putting ourselves through. These nuclear power plants that explode, you know, when we're fracking the ground. You know, one of my cousins through marriage, you know, I posted something about fracking, and, you know, and he works for the mining industry and the drilling industry. And he goes, you know, show me where it poisons the water. And I'm like, you know, and that really, really pissed me off. And I didn't respond to them, but other people did. But I'm thinking to myself, if you really have to ask me that question, you know, you're just being an ass, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't appreciate that, you know, because you know better. I mean, when you go to college and you're studying for this degree to learn about mining and digging, and, you know, they always teach you the things that will happen, the side effects. There's always repercussions to the work that you do. And so that's kind of like he was almost insulting my intelligence, and I didn't appreciate that. Because this is a serious thing. Just because now we're just fracking for the natural gas that's in these rocks, it's kind of like, you know, the old gold rush. You know, everybody's trying to do it now. People, you know, want to get out there and pull it out. But this stuff gets trapped between the layers of the earth and water, and, you know, that stuff has to go someplace. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kind of things that upset me, you know, when people try to do that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. You know, it's not like this is the first, you know, big spill where wildlife and you know, fish, everything, the food supply, all is going to get affected. So, after how many does it take for them to have that immediate action plan? You know, how many of these events does it actually take?
Sorry.
They're so smart that they can.
Internet connection.
Sorry. My phone just turned on by itself.
We've lost our internet connection, have we?
No. My phone started talking to me.
I know, that's what your phone said.
That is very...
But, yeah, you know, it's just like, how many times, if they're so smart with all their drilling and how they're doing it and where they're putting everything and how it's ran, then... How come they can't stop that as soon as it happens? You know, it isn't the first time. So obviously they either don't give a crap or, you know, they just don't want to take the money that they're making. They're taking from, you know, we aren't even going to go there. But, you know, it's just like they don't want to spend the money to have that extra precaution in place, you know. I don't get it. I just, it's, that's exactly why I'm hoping at some point there's going to be so many intentional, you know, eco-friendly communities out there that it's just going to, the only way you're ever going to hurt them is to hurt their pocketbook, quit
well,
buying
you know,
their products.
You know, they, yeah, I totally get what you're saying, but they just pulled out a study about fracking, and it's inconclusive if it actually damages the environment. There's something they pulled out just recently. Some federal group
mm-hmm.
brought it. I was reading that. Someone passed it to me. So, you know, these things that we do to the earth, you know, it takes like 100 years to actually know if we're actually causing problems. You know, when you start to dig
mm-hmm.
her and move her, you know, that's where you have sinkholes, and when you build on property and land,
mm-hmm.
where you shouldn't really be building things. So there's all these different things that we do, and we just don't account. Roads get washed away. I mean, I've seen videos. I've seen roads get washed away personally, you
yeah.
know, where it looks solid as a rock, but yeah, but you bring some water through there and it just rips it right out. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, I'm not worried about Mother Earth as much as I'm worried about us and me. You know, I want to be around a little bit longer, you know. I don't want
yeah.
to feel those consequences, but the people who are really, really going to feel the effects of all this stuff and all these GMOs and all these drillings and all are the kids, the future kids, their kids and their
mm-hmm.
grandkids, and 3 or 4 generations down. Right now, we're a young country. We're a young, you know, world. We're using petroleum and different aspects and stuff. It will bite us. 1,000 years
no,
from now,
yeah.
100 years from now, 500 years from now, we're going to feel it. It's going to be known. There's going to be a big battle for the water source. We're polluting our waters. And, you know, these companies, they drill this stuff, and then, but they also take the water and recycle it, and then they sell it right back to you. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but that's going to be one of those things that we're going to be really, we're going to be sorry. We're going to be sorry because,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
we're going to have to pay a lot of money for drinking water one day. And you can't even drink water in some countries right now. You know, in Peru, you can't
oh,
drink
yeah.
water. Where I'm from, you can't really drink the water. You have to buy bottled water. And you can take a
mm-hmm.
shower, and that's about it. But, you know, that's just kind of stuff we're doing to ourselves. And, you know, I mean, people with free will and God intent, you know, we're not doing a very good job. Some of us are, but a lot of us aren't. So
right.
I don't know. It frustrates me, Adrian. I get really frustrated with it.
I do, too. I understand. I feel you, because I do, too.
It's all
you know,
about
I
that green, those greenbacks. All about those greenbacks.
I know. That's why I said they don't. They won't do anything until we hurt their pocketbook somehow. That's
mm-hmm.
the only language they do understand. So you know.
I'm turning off my phone.
Find a way
to
hurt their pocketbook. Huh?
Turning off my phone before it talks to me again. They're starting to do some weird stuff.
Again?
No, you're right. But you're right. If when we hurt their pocketbook, that's when they start to. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Money's not even real, Adriana. Money is just paper.
No,
energy associated. It's not even paper. It's cotton and linen. You know,
it's a bunch of numbers in a computer.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me that you know. I mean, this is a theory of mine that I've known for a long time. We're not going to have money one day. We're going to be on a credit system. We're going to be on a point system where they're going to be able to, you know, it's kind of like a video game. You're just going to earn your credits
mm-hmm.
as you move along through life and how much you
mm-hmm.
work. Because money's going to be worthless. You know, we're going to have the gold standard,
mm-hmm.
silver standard. It's going to all be backed. It's going to all go to credit. And the people who have the power are the ones that are going to move it, move that agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So pray
yeah,
that we get on the right track.
Yeah, well, those people need to be removed from their power, you know. So, everybody needs booted out. And, you know, it'll come down to where, I mean, everybody is really going to be fighting, you know, everybody. It's not going to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I just wish people could see the world as a perfect, beautiful place, you know, and just be able to manifest that creation. I mean, there are people
right.
who do that, and there are people like yourself and me and Maisie who's online here and other people who do that. But then there's a lot of other folks who just don't understand that, you know, the way we consume things is just, you know, if you ever really sat down and thought about how much you just use in a year or just in a week or a day,
mm-hmm.
you'd blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You'd blow your mind.
You would,
if you could calculate every day how much plastic you use, how much paper you use, it's scary. That
mm-hmm.
landfill is full with so much stuff, and the recycling stuff is just it just amazes me.
Yeah.
And you know,
I try my best there, but you know, we're unless you make every single thing that you use, it's almost impossible, you know, not to buy the things you need that are in plastic containers. You know, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They shut most of the glass factories down. I mean, you know, plastic came along and all the glass, there was big glass factories down Lancaster and out, you know,
yeah.
here. Ohio was one of the biggest of making glass. Back
right.
in, you know, I collect Depression
yeah.
glass, Pink Depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's beautiful. I wish, you know, the glass factories would come back and that everything, you know, we just completely did away with plastic and started bottling everything in glass again. You know, your coffee pots, if you have your thermoses, you know, all that, the insides, you know, the stainless steel and stuff that's in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's chemicals in there, you know, that, it's in the containers that we have to drink everything from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out there and try to find a coffee pot that's, you know, like a thermal kind that actually has glass on the inside.
Yeah, those
I
are hard to
find. I read a report the other day or something I had seen where this woman was, you know, really sick and just kept getting sicker and sicker, and nobody could determine what was wrong with her, and it ended up being the inside of her coffee pot. The materials
wow.
used on the inside of that coffee pot was killing her. You know, something as simple as that. But yeah, it's I actually just you know, we have in the city, you have your regular trash and then you have your recycle can.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me I bet it took me at least 5 months to get a recycle full of, you know, to actually take out. So I don't do it once a week. I don't have to. I don't use that much. I try my
mm-hmm.
best, you know, I try my best to bake all of my food. I cook the old-fashioned way. You know, I don't do a lot of boxes and stuff, pre-mixed anything. And so that kind of helps, you know,
mm-hmm.
with saving on those types of products that you buy when you cook the old-fashioned way. And I like it anyway. I like it a lot better. It's a lot healthier.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we use a lot of plastic, man. You know, I noticed that in our house, for example, we actually go through more recyclable stuff than we actually go through trash. And then what I
uh-huh.
and things that I actually compost things too. So we don't have a whole lot of trash compared to what we have is more recycling. And then I think there should be more recycling pickup than trash day sometimes. Because
uh-huh.
the neighbors have said that too to me. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like that sometimes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like we're just to have our basic things that we need. We're forced into living that way or buying that way. So.
mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
You know, you just wonder what the answer is. You know, you just try to do your best now and try to teach others and try to teach. Those of you that have children, you know, try to teach them different ways. So.
Yeah, the kids, the newer little guys of today, are
mm-hmm.
they're kind of like us when we were learning, when we were getting taught Smokey the Bear and all, you know, the
mm-hmm.
owl, Hootie the Owl, whatever his name is. I can see the kids of today are kind of more in tune to earth and wanting to do things, but the kids before them, the ones that came before them, like my kids, for example, and now they're in their 20s or so, they're a little different. They're a little bit more, and I know I'm kind of being, you know, a little bit, you know, biased about this statement, but I see my kids and I see their friends and I see the schooling they go through. They're a little out of touch about earth. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit out of touch and they don't look at her the same way like I would or you do or how these little kids do. So I try to teach little guys that live with us here to appreciate her, you know, and they see me planting a garden and stuff and it excites them, you know. So they brought me these seed packets from school that they were giving away. And so, you know, we help plant them and hopefully they'll grow. And you can see the kids today are a little bit more the little ones, like, you know, the ones over 9, 6, 8, around that age, you know, they're a little more in tune. They get it. Mm-hmm. They're very receptive.
Well, you had the turn, you know, when we were young, we went through, like we were talking a few weeks ago, with the energy crisis and conserving water and you know, Hootie the Owl and the commercial that you posted for me with the end in crying as far as, you know, pollution and the trash. And so we were raised, I mean, that was the good that came out of our childhood, was that, you know, there were people fighting back then, those hippies, they were fighting back then to clean up the earth. And so we, you know, that was programmed into us through commercials and stuff because of that. And then it just, like, everything died. You know, everything just stopped. And then next thing, you know, when you got into the, you know, in the 80s, let's say, the 80s to the 90s, you know, everything just went up. It was like, you know, you got nuclear power plants, you know, all over the place, and all the, you know, the pipeline going through and oil and all of that. So there wasn't any programming on commercials like we had, you know, that I can remember that really cared. So that's what that generation had, you know, that the kids that were born the 80s and into the 90s, that wasn't on TV. Look at the crap on TV now.
Yeah.
How often do you see a commercial ever that says, you know, quit littering, stop the pollution, get rid of the nuclear power plant, stop the oil pipeline? How often do you see any commercials now? You just don't.
I don't even know if you can get one on there.
That's what I'm saying. Because, you know how much money it takes to run a 30-second ad or a 60-second ad on television? And nobody's got that kind of money, you know, except those huge corporations that are pumping the crap into our water.
Yeah,
so they're pumping their crap on the TV, which is why I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
I seriously can't hardly watch television at all, and I'm so glad, because there isn't anything on there worth a crap. There really isn't.
I agree.
I hate it. You know, so the only hope that the kids now have are there are some families, there are some parents that, like we, care about what's going on, and there are some people trying to make a difference, but they don't have the money to have that ad on television, on primetime TV, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just wants to sit in their little houses and shut their doors and, you know, watch stupid shit like Survivor. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have said that either. But
you said it.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like, we need a bleep button, apparently.
Is that a bleep button?
But, you know, it's like, what are you really going to learn, from watching that?
Right.
I want somebody to actually call in right now that learned anything from watching that crap. Tell us what you learned.
All right. Here's a bleep button for you.
Oh, I'd rather color. Have my roar.
I do have that somewhere here amongst all the sound effects that we have. This one?
Yeah, that's it. That's right. About how
let's bring a caller on. Let's bring a caller on and see what they feel and how they feel about what we're talking about. So here we go. I'll let you in.
Alrighty.
If my buttons work. Come on, buttons. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. They all hung up. They all hung up, man.
They're afraid.
That's hilarious, man. I'd never seen that before. That is funny. I mean, we had like 10 callers, and they all went,
kaboom. She sounds a little angry. I better not.
Maybe we should put something a little more entertaining for them, huh?
Oh, good.
She ate them. She ate the Lollipop Guild.
One bite.
Yeah, one bite. She ate them all. Let's take a break. We're back. Oh, that was too funny.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
And we're back.
You have a panda button.
I don't know what a panda. Here's the sound of a panda. Ready? Okay, there it goes. Did you hear it?
No.
Here, I'll push it again. Ready?
Bamboo.
You ready?
No.
You hear it? You don't hear
no.
it?
No.
Okay, well, maybe if we just step to the left.
There.
I don't know what kind of sounds a panda makes.
We'll just have to get you eating some bamboo.
Oh, you've never seen all these buttons before. I like them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please. Oh my.
These are Mark's buttons. Oh, okay.
Naughty.
That would make sense.
Yeah, that's Mark.
Down the rabbit hole with Mark. That's tomorrow at noon. New hour.
Yeah.
All right, since we scared all our listeners away. When we asked them to come online. No, I'm telling you, I'd never seen that happen. He's like, I want to hear what you guys have to say. And next thing I know, I was pushing the lines, and everybody was trying to hang up at the same time.
So, you'll never have me on again.
Oh no, no, it was just really comical. Well, we're sharing our spontaneous spirit talk is about Mother Earth and how we can love her and appreciate her and all she gives to us. And she does give us a lot. I mean, we're still here, we're still alive. So there's obviously some balance in the force per se that keeps us going and keeps us breathing and keeps us, you know, moving forward. So I'm pretty happy for that aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm my gardening this year is really coming out pretty good. So I'm grateful for that. I always plant perennials so that whatever goes in will come back and hopefully multiply every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the this is my second year. And everything came back just, a lot bigger and just real full. And I'm really happy. And I went and bought some more things to add. And I've got a nice little one-hole side, of nothing but herbs and sage and rosemary and lavender and, chives. So it's looking good. And then, of course, Mary, bless her heart, she started over 200 plants and has given just about all of them away. So she's making gardeners out of everyone. And,
yes, she is.
Yes, she is. She gave me, I have five of the tomato plants out of six. One of them did not make it.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me a pepper plant. And it looks like it's going to come up, so I'm kind of excited about that. I did not grow peppers last year, but I did keep seeds from the tomatoes that she gave me last year and started them from seed in a pot, and I've got about four more tomato plants coming up. So I think I'll share what my mother shared with me this week when I was telling her about all of my tomatoes that are in the ground and look like they're going to survive. And I was like, Mom, I said, because I always help my mother in the kitchen canning, food, because we always had a garden growing up. And every summer, when I was a kid, I would kind of dread the canning process because it was so long and you boiled all the bottles, or the jars and the lids, and you couldn't touch anything. I mean, you literally, everything was just sterilized to no end. A lot of dishes being washed, and then you boiled them, and then you took them out, and then you processed, your canning, your tomatoes or whatever, or the beans. And so it was a long, hot process in the kitchen. So when I was telling her about these tomatoes, and I love fried green tomatoes also. I love fried green tomatoes.
Tomatoes. You say it with a D.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. I think it's funny when you say green tomatoes. When you say regular tomatoes, you don't say that. But when you say green tomatoes, you have fried green tomatoes. It just sounds
fried
like
green tomatoes.
You see?
Silly. You know
tomato.
Just the weirdest things. But so anyway, I was like, Mom, I was like, I'm going to have so many tomatoes this year. And I said, I wish I had, the mason jars and stuff because I don't have canning equipment. And it's really expensive. And they're actually, because they're glass, they're kind of hard to find. That they're not outrageous. You have to pay a lot, really, to get brand new jars or anything. And I don't know that I've even seen brand new jars anywhere. So,
yeah, I saw them at Meijer's. I saw them the other day.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I said, I was always in the kitchen helping her as a child. And when I was telling her, I said, looks like I'm going to have to, break down and find a way to get some jars and start canning. And she goes, well, there's something else you can do. She goes, you can freeze your tomatoes. And I said, well, what do you have to do to them? And she said, basically, you just boil, a big pan of water, put your tomatoes in there, after it comes to boil, and you only leave them in there for probably about 2 minutes, just until the skin starts to crack on them. And then you take the tomatoes out and you peel them, and you can either cut them or quarter them. And you have a little bit of a core in the middle, so you want to cut that away. But you can, quarter them, or you can actually cut them in real small, like diced, or you can just, squish them,
Mm-hmm.
And then you put them in, you actually put them in freezer bags, and just put them in the freezer. And,
sounds a lot more easier.
And so then with the green tomatoes, she goes, and you can freeze your green tomatoes too. And I said, well, do you have to boil them? I'm sitting there trying to picture that, because when you pull the green tomato, they're hard. They're not like the red at all, and they're mm-hmm. pretty solid. And she goes, you don't even have to do that. She said, you just get your green tomato, you wash them, and you slice them real thin, like you're going to fry them, the size that you like them to fry. And you lay them on a cookie sheet, flat, not on top of each other, actually separate. You just lay them out on a cookie sheet, and you put the cookie sheet in the freezer and just let them freeze up just a little bit. And then you just remove them from the cookie sheet, and you put those in the bags. And then just freeze them like that. Don't even have to boil them or peel them. So I need a freezer.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a freezer this year. But I have a feeling I'm going to have a lot of tomatoes.
Not tomatoes.
So.
Tomatoes or tomatoes?
Yeah.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes? Green fried tomatoes?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Fried green tomatoes.
See, tomatoes. You say it with a D when you say green. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my ear. It's funny. It's cute. Fried green tomatoes.
Yeah. There was a movie called Fried Green Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. I was in it. I was in that movie. I'm just joking. Fried green tomatoes.
Yeah.
I was the guy in the stand
so
telling
you
tomatoes.
Are. All the tomatoes that Mary eventually will listen to this show. We're going to be freezing tomatoes this year. Your tomatoes.
Yeah, so.
And that way we'll have fried green tomatoes in the winter. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a huge garden too. So.
My mom said you can do that with peppers too.
Mm-hmm.
The fried green tomatoes. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just like the fried green tomatoes, you don't have to boil them or anything. You just slice them and put the strips on the cookie sheet, put them in the freezer for a little bit till they get firm,
mm-hmm.
and then take them out and just store them in the bags and keep them in the freezer.
Like fried green pettas.
Right.
You got to cook those pettas, I love pettas.
Yeah. One of the shows the other day, you guys were talking about having to go back to, preserving things the old way and like talking
mm-hmm.
to your parents that are, in their 70s. So Mark was talking about that in astrology. That's what it was. We went to Mark's astrology class last weekend, and he was talking about where all the planets were back, like when the great, the Depression was. And so our parents or our grandparents that were the way the planets were aligned then, that time of the alignments is coming back. It's been 84,
mm-hmm.
it'll be 84 years that the alignment of that same dynamic that you had in the sky when the Great Depression happened is
mm-hmm.
getting ready to come back again. And he said, if you have people that live through and how they made it through the Depression when food was rationed and everything back then, everybody lost jobs. Your food was rationed and people canned. That's what they did. They canned their food. And he said, they could give you some advice. Those older people that are probably 78 to 80 years old, now would be the time to talk to them about how to survive something like that, because that's kind of where we're heading again. So I'm glad I stayed in the kitchen with my mom, because she, you know, her mother went through the Great Depression. My mom was born in 1939. And so she was raised, you know, the whole world was struggling then. And you know, they were poor anyway. You know, they had 8 girls, and my papa worked in a factory.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have, you know, large families like people did back then, you had the kids wore hand-me-down clothes, or your parents sewed and made your own clothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you did to clothe your children, you know. A lot of people did. And so my mom was raised that way to learn how to preserve food and how to sew and how to, you know, one dress would last and be able to be passed down from child to child and be taken care of. I mean, everything was cleaned and washed and starched, you know, with one of them either by hand or one of those old wringer washers, you know. My mom remembers all that growing up, and it carried over to where she, you know, she taught us a lot of those things. But I was the only girl that was in the kitchen and doing the canning and the cooking and stuff. And then I also took up all the crafting or the sewing and things. So I'm multi-talented over here.
Yes, you are. And you got a fan club on the chat room, too.
I do.
Yeah. This is Appalachian. We stay things our way. Paw-paw.
That's
yuppers,
right.
Southern gal. I'm just laughing out loud here. I'm passing flowers out so no one will hit me in the chat room. Maisie's got your back. Don't you be
good.
Talking about my girl like that. Iggy. I better get my ninja suit on and hide.
That's right. Yeah. So I'll let you talk for a while.
Yeah, okay. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
To
Thank
you.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Happy birthday. You
Happy
got
birthday to you.
To you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Two crows. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Flap them wings.
So many more.
Oh,
we
thank
love
you,
you
so much.
And someone's knocking on your
front
door.
I love you guys, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love you, too. All right, bye.
Yeah.
I was joking.
Well, okay, no.
No, you're off. What's up, brother? How's it going?
Oh, well, you know, I broke into my present, my selfie stick, so I've been having some fun with that. I was walking around the neighborhood taking
some
shots.
Do you have a selfie stick? Oh, my God.
I do have a selfie stick, yeah. The world just changed, man. It just got awesomer.
I will not get a selfie stick. I will not break
You'll
down.
You'll have one next
we'll
have one next week.
Don't say
Once
that.
Once you start seeing all the fun I'm doing with it, you'll have one too.
No. I've seen people with it. I'm like, what are you doing? It's a selfie stick.
Get on the train, man. Come on. No, I'm
kidding.
Well,
no, happy birthday, man. Nothing about
Thank you.
He didn't say anything about the meatloaf that his girlfriend made him. He's just talking about the selfie stick.
Well, the meatloaf was good, too. You know, the meatloaf was good, and it was a good day, you know. It wasn't a day that I took off work or anything like that. So, you know, it was just semi-normal. But, you know, here I am. I'm 58 years old. So, you know, it's not like I'm 10 and I need a big party. I'm happy to be here, you know. And I think we all got that, you know, we got kind of a reality check when Deb transitioned just now recently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's been a time of just appreciation, you know. I really appreciate everything around me and the people and just life, you know. So often we put so many things on life, you know, like, oh, I have to do this, or I'm going to do that, or life has to have these criteria and meet these, you know, this parameters in order for me to enjoy it, you know, and relax, you know. Life is here, and then it's gone. And so you know,
yeah.
We just really have to relax into it more and let it happen and just be experiencers of it instead of, you know, trying to steer it where we want it to go. It'll take us where we need to go. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but.
Well.
So I'm a little late to the show. What are you guys been talking about tonight?
Adriana, you had a question for our callers. Remember, maybe you can address it to David. Yeah, Adriana asked a question, and everybody hung up.
I kind of dared anyone to call in and tell me what they actually learned from watching something like Survivor on TV.
What they learned from watching Survivor. Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. That was my point.
Some people said I resemble that remark.
I don't know. You know, I started watching it when it first came out because I thought it was kind of an interesting premise. You know, you take people, you put them on an island, you put them in teams. They we all know that it's just evolved into the whole reality show thing. But, it was like all about forming alliances and you didn't know who you trust. And, you know, one minute they're your friend, the next minute they're stabbing you in the back. And
that sounds like
government. Yeah, it was too much like real life.
Oh,
I'm like,
so we learned about
fun.
Our government.
You know? Why don't you go over there and hang out? Sorry, we asked him a question.
You know?
We're interrupting you.
Yeah. No, that's okay. No, you know, one of my fantasies when I was a kid was to be on a desert island, you know, and just be out there and have to, you know, make my own tree house and, you know, go and get coconuts and whatever. You know, I had that fantasy about, you know, kind of being all by myself in a beautiful. You know, I was like, why did Robinson Crusoe try to get rescued? You know, he should just
did you say
stayed
desert?
Where he was, but a desert, well, deserted, you know. But.
Yeah, because you have to find an oasis out there then.
Right.
Most likely.
Yeah.
No, but I know
well,
what you're
I
saying.
Grew up with, yeah, you know, and I grew up with
it's
Gilligan's
birthday,
Island and all that stuff. Yeah.
We're razzing you,
yeah.
It's your birthday.
Right. Oh, well, hey. You razzed me anyway, so it doesn't have to be my birthday.
That's right. It's your birthday.
Yeah, you know, and so like that. You know, I grew up with Gilligan's Island and, you know, just the professor and Skipper and Marianne and, you
mm-hmm.
know, just
so
you know, the idea. and Lou. That could have got kinky. You know, that whole situation could have got real kinky. But,
oh, my God. We're Gilligan's Island. Oh, no. Just thought about that.
Professor and Marianne and... You know,
we
got
to marry.
In there and
I want to be Ginger.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to ask who I am.
Hey, little buddy.
I guess I'm Gilligan, huh?
Yeah, Skipper and Gilligan under the waterfall.
I'm having the visual now.
I guess Mark is the
goodness.
the scientist guy, right? The professor.
Professor.
The professor. Yep, that's he's a perfect professor. Yeah, yeah. Oh boy, we got it all.
Oh, goodness.
We got all kind of a whole show right there. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Mary could be Marianne. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Dwight and Cindy can be Mr. and Mrs. Bell.
Yeah. That's funny.
They love her.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm. I know. We're crazy. We're so silly. We're silly guys.
This is the kind of fun we have, folks.
This is better
yeah.
than watching anything on TV right now. I'm just going to tell you.
I agree.
Hey, do you know that they've got like the show called Naked and Afraid now?
Naked and Afraid.
They take two people who've never met each other, and they both strip naked, and then they meet each other in the middle of some situation like, you know, like Survivor, you know, and they're paired up, and they've got to survive for 21 days naked. I'm not even kidding.
Goodness.
So where do I sign
know.
Up for the
well.
Show? Where do I sign up?
Where do you sign up? Yeah. You got to make an audition tape first.
Oh, my God. I'm already naked, so maybe I can head start here.
I was going to say, perhaps we'll just start our own.
You think he's spearing a fish in the pond?
I'm very afraid. Then I am naked. No, no, I'm not naked on radio. How gross. That's nasty. Really, they put these people.
Naked and afraid.
These people just put them out. They just randomly pick two people and put them on this, what, some situation?
Well, they've got some kind of survival skills already. They've re-rated for, like, their athleticism or their, you know, their survival skills or something. And so they rate them at the beginning of the show, and then they rate them how they performed over the rest of the show. So sometimes they bail out early. Sometimes, you know, one partner will go, I can't take this anymore. I need to leave, and then the person has to finish it out or can go as far as they do. You know, it's interesting. It's just, but here you are naked in the middle of the Amazon jungle. You know, it's like already you're at a disadvantage, you know? And you've got to make your own shelter. You've got to get along with this person with their junk hanging out. You know, it's crazy. So I don't know. But that's where our TV is at right now, you know, so.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier, was the junk on TV and why, you know, we were talking about how the commercials we've seen as children, you know, that was against pollution and trash and litter, and you just don't see that anymore, and no one has the money to, you know, spend for a 30 or 60 second airtime to show a commercial like that anymore. How many commercials do you see on television that actually promote clean air and clean water and no GMO food? You know,
not a lot.
You don't.
Nope.
And that's a big part of our problem. So how, you know, and we don't have, so we don't have the money to get a commercial, you know. If all of us could make a commercial, number one, that would be awesome. It really would. But, you know, how would we get it the airtime? Because you're fighting those main corporations that control what we're watching to begin with. You know, they're not going to allow something like that to be aired. And that's what we were talking about earlier, just all the crap on television. And that's why, you know, it's up to us as people to try to show or to teach, but when you know, everybody's just like, you know, hypnotized by the television, how many can you really reach? I mean, yeah, we have our social networking, and there are a lot of people that are reaching out that way, and I bet, you know, there's a lot of people that wish social networking never really happened, because there are a lot of people that can reach out that way.
But
you really have to have, you know, a lot of connections all over the world, you know, to just make your statement and to get other people to, you know, it's just such a struggle. So.
Yeah. Chipotle. I want to say thank you to Chipotle for trying to do the best they can to serve their customers non-GMO foods.
Yeah. Me too.
Right on. Yeah.
Because we like Chipotle. And
that will support you.
And that's right. There's more following suit too. You know, as that starts to catch on. You know, we should have GMO labeling. I want people to demand that from our representatives. And you know, just look at all the other countries that have thrown Monsanto out, and we're still supporting
but
it.
But we certainly haven't, have we? Right.
No. Not at all.
Of course not. You're going to hit somebody's pocketbook up there. That's what else we were talking about. If you want to do anything, you're going to have to hit somebody's pocketbook. You know, quit buying their crap. And eventually, I mean, it is. It's just going to turn into a really bad fight. It really is.
And what you were saying earlier, you know, when you were talking about water being so very important, that, you know, it's going to be the next goal. It's going to be the next war. It's going to be over water rights and clean water. And already, you know, to have it ruled that, you know, in court that we don't have a human right to water. I mean, what is that all about?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I heard you say that to me the other day. I was like, what the heck is that all about? How do we not have a human right to water?
That's right. That's the thing. You don't have a human right to air. You know, you don't have a human right to walk the ground.
And who makes this decision? Who's the idiot? Whatever, man. I'll tell you, when you push people in a corner, man, I'm going to tell you right now, you push people in a corner, you know, you're going to suffer some serious problems, man.
Yeah,
that's what they want.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to have some serious fighting. It's not going to be pretty.
I know. I know. You know, and we've got to look forward to these times to come. You know, because this is the generation that we are in, and we're going to be confronting these issues whether we want to or not, because they've been developing for quite a while, and you know, we have been pretty passive about letting it happen. And when you're passive about something, it just keeps getting worse, or you know, the situation just keeps going forward. And you know, there's a rustling, there's a rumbling. You know, people are beginning to wake up and say, you know what, I don't like what I see around me. I don't like what I feel. I don't like the way I'm pushed and manipulated and expected to toe the line, you know, for somebody else who's getting away with, you know, with murder and stuff. So, you know,
who doesn't give a crap about your life.
That's where it's at right there. That's where it's at. You know, toeing the line for people who don't care.
Right.
And it's getting really crazy now. You know, on Facebook, I'm reading an article. It says a woman expelled from Kentucky Fried Chicken for breastfeeding her 42-year-old son. I mean, people are going to some extremes, you know. And I don't know if I'd breastfeed my kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It's crazy. It's crazy because, you know, it seems like the natural has become unnatural and the unnatural has just become natural. It's totally, we need to turn that totally around. And come back to just some common sense and some common decency and some common consideration for one another, instead of looking at everything like it's a resource and a commodity and it's money in my pocket, you know, and it's mine, grab, 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 get. You know, that oil spill off California, we're all heartbroken over that.
We were talking about that.
Like, turn the channel, I don't want to watch that. You know, I want to watch Friends or something. You know? You really have to shock people into caring. And, you know, when your own water, when the water that comes into your house isn't even fit to be drank by your pets, you know, that's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you know, the food that you eat is making you sick and the people that make it don't care and the government won't step in to do anything about it, you know, that shocks you a little bit. So it's a wake-up call, but, you know, it's waking up is hard to do sometimes, and some people aren't very good morning people. So there's a lot of restlessness out there, but we're here.
Yeah.
You know, you and I, we're working, we're trying, we're still doing what we need to do, and little by little, you know, I think that we're getting through. So,
do these people drink water, David? Do these people drink water? I mean, do they eat food? I mean, it makes me wonder sometimes. But don't you guys drink the water too? I mean, it's fine. You know, it's not full of poison. Well, then go ahead and drink from it. Let me see you drink it.
Sure.
You know?
Uh huh. Yeah.
Oh well, you know, I can't do that. No, la la la.
No. No, you know, you were right when you said we were having a message back and forth. And you said the oil executives should be the ones out there cleaning up those beaches and those ducks. They should be out there.
They should.
You know, listening and feeling the pain that they're causing. That's rub their nose in, you know.
Yeah. But we also said they're not going to get anything except maybe a slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. Yeah. That's where the big problem lies. If there isn't any, you know, consequences for what I consider, committing a crime upon humanity and the earth, you know, there isn't any consequence against it, and they just keep doing it. And how do you stop that? You know, you got to hit their pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to stop
whatever
they're selling, whatever their company that they belong to. You got to quit buying their shit. Oops, there I said it again. Second time I said that tonight. I'm sorry.
Fourth time.
But, yeah. We need that bleep button. Bleep. But
I'm late hit on the button.
Was that the roar? Getting
late.
well, we keep on fighting the good fight, you know. And when I say fight, it's not like we're out there punching people, but we're still speaking truth. We're still showing love. We're still holding out hope, and we're wanting things to manifest in a way that everybody wins. You know, the world is just one world, and we're just one people. And you know, we've been divided up into classes and, you know, races and all these other divisions that we make among ourselves for so long that we really just should, you know, those kind of things can be used against us and keep us apart, make us, you know, fight over trivial things. You know, I can't believe that people are killed over the idea of religion, you know, that a precious human life is taken for something that is so, you know, so it's pointless. And it's sad, and we have to change as a species to do that, to get better.
And that's been going on for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
People getting killed over their religion, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, or getting pushed off of land that was theirs for thousands of years, and you know, the cultures are just destroyed and disappear. And the conqueror, you know, it's been the age of the conqueror, you know, and we need to move into the age of commonality and consideration and communing with one another, you know, and living together and not caring, you know, that you have a different religion than I do, you look different than I do, you live differently than I do. That's fine, you know. We just care for one another. And boy, you know, I hope that age comes. I really do.
Everybody bleeds the same way, and that's the bottom line. Doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor, doesn't matter if you're black, doesn't matter if you're white or red, yellow, blue, doesn't matter. You cut somebody, they're going to bleed, and blood is the same color, period.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No matter
like a red tomato.
It's running through. That's right. Mm-hmm. It's seriously. That's what I don't understand, why people don't understand that simple, that's so simple if you visualize that, you know. It's true. I mean, we all have the same blood running through our veins, same color.
And you
that's
know,
what keeps
the thing
us
of
alive.
It is, too, yeah, it keeps us alive. And the thing of it is, too, you know, if we would look, just open our eyes and look at it, we are all related. We truly are related. I mean, we all can trace our ancestry back. We can trace it back to 100,000 years to the same people, persons that walked this earth, you know. So in essence, we're all fighting our cousins. We're fighting our brothers and sisters, truly. And, you know, we need to just, you know, but we fight over nations. We fight over ideas. We fight over philosophies, we fight over, you know, just the most meaningless of things. And when really, you know, there's more than enough for everyone. There's no need to fight. There's abundance aplenty in this world, and we just need to learn to share. We need to learn to manage our resources better and take better care of this precious Mother Earth that we have, that we've
and
been
share
so blessed.
Our resources instead of fighting over them.
I don't know where the idea started that we have to own everything either. You know, we have to own that piece of land. I have to own those trees. I have to own that. You know, the possession and the ownership, that idea, you know, that was kind of foreign to the Native Americans, I believe. They didn't really think about ownership in that way, you know. So how can you own the land? How can you own a mountain? How can you own, you know, anything but your own self? So, you know, I know they have property and everything, so, you know, the horses and stuff, but to own the land, I mean, the land was mother, and, you know, you couldn't just do that. So, I don't know. We've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. How do you stop the need to conquer in people, you know? How do you stop that? Because that's what it's always been.
Well, you know, you cut one head off, another head comes in. So that's the problem. That's where the problem's at. You know, it's like, you know, it's like the mythological, you know, serpent. You know, the multi-headed beast, you know. Mm-hmm. You cut it off, and then the next thing comes back. Then another guy comes back, or a girl, you know. It's just right. a vicious cycle, you know. I mean, anytime people can dominate or control or be over somebody else, that's what happens. And that's why we have the systems that are supposed to help us, you know, to curtail that kind of stuff to happen. But yet, you know, they always seem to find a way to dominate through that same system.
Yeah.
Right. Right. My goal, my idea, my dream is a world where we are all ruled from within. You know, we don't seek leaders to tell us what to do. We know what to do from our own hearts and our own goodness. You know, I believe people are basically good. And, you know, if you're a person who needs a rule to tell you that it's wrong to murder, then you've got problems beyond just, you know, you know, you've got some problems, you know, but
sure.
we all know that that's wrong, you know, and so we all have within us that basic decency. We might lose that because, you know, we get brainwashed one way or another, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, we feel like we're entitled to something that we're not given, you know, and we get angry and we get resentful, and I don't know, there's a million ways that that we can convince ourselves to be unkind to one another, but all in all, you know, we don't come into this world hateful creatures. We are just
right.
children, and, you know, we're trained mm-hmm. and taught from there on out, you know, by the society that we are born into, what's right, what's wrong, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And I would just mm-hmm. love to see the age of kings and the age of queens and the age of rulers and leadership from the top down fade away. I'd really like to see us become sovereign, self-empowered people who love
mm-hmm.
one another and, you know, who could be trusted to be kind and do the right thing. And I'm going to say that, you know, the vast majority of people, I like that. They're, you know, they're not going to rape and murder and, you know, and steal and all these other things, you know, if they're not pressured by their own, you know,
mm-hmm.
programming or society or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we may evolve to that. It may take a long time, but
you're probably going to have to cut out everything on the networks there, because that's all you see. Seriously, that's all you see. You see nothing but violence and rape and prostitution and you know, gambling. I mean, that's all you see when you turn on a television, practically.
Exactly.
How many good television shows do you know that are really out there? I mean, make a list of them, and then make a list of all the bad ones, and see which one, you know, on your little T-square, which one has more. Guarantee you, you're going to have more bad things that you watch on television than you do good ones. And that's
right.
You know, you're going up into the what is it, 6 networks there, or however many people control everything the whole world watches. We need
mm-hmm.
to get
yeah.
them people out of there too while we're at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you have shows like mm-hmm. The Bachelor, where, you know, these people who've never met, they marry, you know, to win $1 million. We sent the wrong precedent, you
mm-hmm.
know, what marriage is about, or having a relationship with another person, you know, that we can buy anything, you know, that
right.
the world could be bought. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
the part I don't like, you know, that everybody's for sale. That's basically what they're saying.
Right.
Everybody's for sale. I can buy you, you know. Put a tuxedo on you, put a sexy dress on you, and, man, you know what? I could have my way with you. You know, that's just not correct. But, you know, when I was in school, we had a project to do, and I've seen this done by other places and other colleges that do this too, but in our high school, we actually did this. We actually had a project where we had to create a world that had no jails in it. We had to create mm-hmm. this world, this fictitious world, how we would have a world without jails. And everybody,
mm-hmm.
some people were like, oh my God, that's impossible. La, la, la. You could imagine all the scenarios that played out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like what David was talking about, you know. We can have common sense, and we can have, you know, a different way of life. You know, we don't have to have prisons if we just did things however they were supposed to be done. You know, I just think we put our hands, the bottom line is that we put our hands too much, we allow other people to take care of us. You know, we give them free range to tell us what we need to watch, what we need to eat, how we need to live, you know, and you know what, how we should breathe, what water we should drink, you know, what fuel we should put in our car. You know, we just give them free range with our lives.
Right, we do. We do. And, you know, I work with people who play a lot of video games and, you know, those kind of things, and because I work in the tech industry, and I hear them talking all the time about the games, and they're all about war, they're all about conquering, they're all about killing, and, you know, and you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's a game. You treat it like a game anymore. And it's terrible. No, and,
no that's
and
what our military does. They're war games. They're real ones.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You press a button and, you know, thousands of people die. And it's a, just like a joystick, you know. So we are reaping the fruit of what have been sowing for so many years, you know, with what we set up as an example, what we put on the pedestal. You know, we're going to put gangsters and, you know, all this sort of violence and fear and just, you know, conflict.
Hate-based.
Hate-based. Yep, all this hate-based stuff out there. No wonder. No wonder we're reeling and you know, choking in this all of this, you know, all the hate and fear that we have out there, and boy, it's just, you know, it's like going against the stream to try to change that. But well, you know what? I'm going to keep going. You're going to keep going. And we're all going to keep going until there's enough of us to turn that stream around. You know, I believe we can do it. It's not easy. It's not going to be all, you know, just like we're going to wake up one day and all love one another. I don't think, you know, it may happen. For me, it's going to be more like we need to make our voices heard. We need to be shown. We need to show that our voices and what we think are valid. And we're going. There's a lot of shouting going on right now from above. You know, that all this information coming down. You know, we've got to make an alternative way of life, an alternative way of looking at the world and living. And so. You know, that's our mission. That's, in a nutshell, what we're all about and how we're going to have an effect on the world. And so it's a challenge, but
it is a challenge.
It's also, it's an honor and a pleasure and you know, it's a blessing to be chosen to be one of the persons who's going to step out and go, you know what, this is not right. And, you know, hey, what do you think? I don't know. It's an amazing time to be alive, and just I'm just happy that I've found you guys, and we've been woven together into a group, and that we can have this radio show right now to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe somebody out there is going to be inspired by what we say and think about it and talk to it about it to someone else. And that's how things change, you know. It's a little bit of time.
We're
going to
hope so.
Mm-hmm. We're going to keep hoping so. Hey, I love you guys.
Okay.
I wake up in the morning and I just give thanks. I give thanks for you. I give thanks for this life that I have. And, you know, little Bo that sleeps beside me. I love him too. And, you know, it's really
I did that today too.
Yeah.
I did. I was thinking about all of us and just, you know, I thank God that I woke up and I had another day in my life, and I thanked him for my dog. And, you know, work was hard, but I thanked him for my job and that I can keep a roof over my head. And then I come home and I look at, you know, the things I've planted, and I know that I'm going to have food and you know, herbs and my own peppermint tea, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for having, you know, ground and to be able to put it in, and that the earth, you know, gives so much. She does. So
does.
That's how I felt today.
Yep. she gives, even though we don't treat her right all the time. And, you know, I think that people are waking up to that a little bit, you know. I think we're going to keep showing more love, you know. We want to do a water ceremony here in Ohio, mm-hmm. Central Ohio, and start blessing the waters. And, you know, it may be just a symbolic gesture, but symbolic gestures change the world, you know, in their own way. And awareness changes the world, and waking people up a little more and getting them thinking. And, you know, that's the things we do. We kind of go outside the box, and we maybe even shock people a little bit, but it kind of makes them step back and go, hey, you know, what's going on here? You know, it's a little bit out of the ordinary, and it gets your attention. So, and I'm really just happy to have you guys in my life. So,
me too.
Me
and you
too.
Know what? You're supposed to hide the selfie stick. You're not supposed to let people see the selfie stick.
How do you do that? We have to work on that, because, you know.
That's the whole trick. It's supposed to look like you're, like, the camera's floating.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'll have to work on that. But, you know, hey, I'm brand new. So.
Hide your stick, David.
Hide my stick? What kind of a
hide
game is that? That's better than hide
that'll
the finger.
Be our new,
I
that'll
know.
Be our...
Water is the most essential element, guys. Remember that.
Okay. Sorry.
Because without water, we can't make coffee, guys. So we need to step it up.
That's true.
That's right.
It starts to hit home then. But no. Yeah, it used to be that everyone thought that, you know, the ocean is vast and, you know, you can't mm-hmm. really hurt the earth. But it's starting to show, you know. And although the earth will go on without it, you know, we're going to... She can sure show us that she isn't pleased with what we're doing, and
right.
I'm hoping people will become more aware, you know, as things move forward. So, but I love you both, and I'm going to go ahead and drop off of here.
Okay.
But you guys have the rest of the show back. But thank you for wishing me happy birthday.
Yeah.
It's. For some people, it's another day, and, you know, in, a, mm-hmm. in some ways, for me, it's a day, but it's a day that I mark as a time to reflect and go, hey, you know what, I've been on this earth for 58 years, and, you know, at first I didn't know if I'd get this far, and then also, mm-hmm. you know, I'd be having such an awesome life right now, you know, and mm-hmm. those are some things to really be thankful for, so thank you mm-hmm. for being part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Before you go... This is what everybody in the world, this is what nations think about our oceans.
Yes.
They think she's just a big toilet, and she can just take it all.
Well, you know, she can do that. She can recycle all that. That's okay. But when we start pumping oil and radiation and, you know, garbage into her, that's not right, you know, and it washes up.
You know what?
Yeah.
I have to share something that I heard that really bothered me, because I've not really researched it, and even if I did, I'm not sure that I would ever find out the truth. But this was a story from someone that was in the Navy back in the 80s, and all of the plastic, you know, bottles and stuff that washes up and gets caught, you know, and it all kind of washes in, like, and gathers in huge trash, you know, in the ocean. They said that almost all of that comes from the Navy ships.
Really?
That's, they just kind of, all of the trash just gets dumped off of the Navy ships, and over half that stuff that washes up that you see in the ocean, but that's where it comes from.
Wow.
So
that's disgusting.
I wonder if anybody could research some of that, you know. It was heartbreaking to hear that.
Yeah.
That this was coming from somebody who loved being in the Navy, but that when that, you know, was reality for him, he didn't feel the same way. So,
well, you know, Jake said that, and you know, I guess they dump stuff over the ships. I mean, they're supposed to just dump, you know, toiletry and things that break down pretty quick. But he says he was just, his mind, he was just like, I can't believe we're throwing this out.
Yeah, that's how this one said. He just could not believe how much of that just came from our ships. So you mean to tell me there isn't a better way to do that, to handle that with all the money that the military has?
Right, right. Yeah,
you know,
well, they'd rather,
you want to talk
they'd
about a budget?
More.
Why don't you make a budget for that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Roar. There she goes again.
Both agreeing with you. He says right on. So.
Looks like it's time
right.
for bed.
But that, yeah, that's something, you know, I'd like to know that truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah.
Expose it. Expose it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's time to do that. There's a show for
that's
us.
Right.
We could go out and we could confront these things, you know, and just tell people the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And put that on TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the kind of stuff that'll never get put on TV because there's only so many people that control everything we all see all across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So our
mm-hmm.
first step would be to get those people the hell out of there. Oops, coming
mm-hmm.
again.
I like your plan. Here we go. Mission Impossible, team assemble.
Captain Planet.
Yep. You know, those are all our tax dollars paying for those ships out there. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, so how do
right.
we want to spend our money?
We should have the ability to direct where our taxes go, and we should have a lot more say over that money. You know, we're just
that's
hand
right.
the money and just say, hey, just take it, do whatever you want with it. You know, raise your own
mm-hmm.
raise your own pay whenever you want to, and you know, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah,
there needs to be major reform in that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
And on that note.
No. All right. Well, good night, both of you.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
We love you.
You got
keep
it.
Practicing. Keep practicing that selfie stick, okay?
Smile.
We'll have a self-afraid. We'll have a self-off. Oh, my God.
Hey, yeah, there's an idea right there.
Naked
selfies. Here we go.
Naked selfies. There we go. I already beat you to it.
All right. Love you both. Good night.
All right. Love
you. I love
bye-bye.
You, too. Good night.
Well, Adriana, we're just about out of time. Any closing thoughts? Oh, it's a good
show.
You know,
it is a good show. It's very enlightening, and sometimes, you know, the truth might be hard to hear for some people, but, hey, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, open your ears, open your eyes, and see what really is going on around you, and try to make a difference, you know. Try to be a difference in this world. Be your own example.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cherish every day, every moment, because you never know when it'll be your last. You know.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Thanks for having me on with you tonight. What's your closing thought?
Well, I just want to tell everybody that you do make a difference. When you put the energies towards it, I mean, just think of all the things you do, you know, that are important in your life, and apply it to the world, apply it to the people around you, because it only takes one person to change the world. I really believe that it takes one person to initiate and get things started and get things moving. Sometimes we don't think that we're smart enough or brave enough or, you know, have enough college or enough education or whatever. Don't buy into that old system. Don't buy into that, because you know what? That's not true. It's false. It's not real. They've fed us that. I mean, this is my closing statement, because I think it's very important to people to be empowered and to understand that they have and the gift and they have the gumption and they have the drive, you know, to do things and make things happen. Just think of all the things that you've made happen in your own personal life. Well, go out there and turn it around. If you're tired of oil spills, then write a letter to your congressman or your senator, you know, to the president. You may not sound like it's significant, but you know what? It's a start. It's a place to begin. It's a place to say, okay, at least I'm active. I'm doing something. You know, start a drive. Mm-hmm. Start people, you know, hold up a sign on the corner. Hold up a sign that says free hugs. Do something that, you know, that's out of your character a little bit. And change yourself by changing yourself little by little, taking that first step. And that's how we change the world, by changing our own world. So I want to invite everybody to, you know, see the world for what it truly is. It's the end of the world as we know it, but not in the way where it doesn't have to be familiar to us. And with that, I want to say peace and love, ho'oponopono, and I'll see everybody next week.
Peace and love.
Bye-bye, Adriana.
Nice.
Hugs and kisses. Bye.
Hugs and kisses.